This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stacy, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Stacy.
Good morning. Hey, guys. Good to be with you. I'm doing well. It's week 15 and still in the grind of it all.
Oh, I bet. But you got a real good one. You're going to be on the Bills-Lions. That should be a heck of a game. And I mean, a lot of people think maybe a preview of the Super Bowl. Let's hope Dan Campbell doesn't go for it on fourth down every time. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, I mean, this is a big game really for the Bills because they can't afford to fall behind any farther from the Chiefs, right? They're in terms of home field and all that. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it's a huge game, obviously. Yeah. I mean, I think everything moving forward, even like for the Vikings this weekend, they can clinch a playoff berth and they have three remaining divisional games. So this game against the Bears is, I'll use the word massive for the Minnesota Vikings. So you're going to see their best effort against what we saw in this Bears team. And then this weekend, I mean, every game I was saying to Dustin when I jumped on here, like, I'm going to be going to games where the seeding matters.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be on the sidelines for Christmas Day with the Steelers and the Chiefs and on Netflix. And that game is going to be massive because of the seeding, you know, the direction the seedings go at the top. Right now in the AFC, you've got Kansas City at 12-1, and then Buffalo sitting there at 10-3, and the Steelers are 10-3. So, you know, and then Detroit, the interesting thing with Detroit is the Vikings are just a game behind them. So, you know, the Lions are sitting there at 12-1. You've got the Vikings at 11-2, and so the Vikings are just a game back in the NFC North. I mean, this thing is nuts, and all these games left are going to be so critical. And so, the Bears are going to get another just very difficult game. That, you know, as we saw, you know, never count the Niners out, right?
Stacey, we talked all last week about this Thomas Brown boost that we were expecting to see and the interim coach boost, and everyone has the energy and everyone's smiling and everything's better now, right? Well, it didn't look that way on Sunday in San Francisco. What do you make of the way that the Bears came out in that game in San Francisco, and how can there be any sort of positive trajectory for this football team moving forward?
Yeah, just to be very frank, Ruthie, I mean, it was obviously very difficult to watch if you are a Bears fan. They made the 49ers look like, you know, they're going back to the Super Bowl this year. I mean, Brock Purdy was 20 of 25. He had 145 passer rating in that game. To me, it was the biggest disappointment that we've seen this year from the defense. Despite all of the shortcomings at the end of games, and you can say, well, that's coaching. They looked completely unprepared for a Niners team that throws the ball into space. I mean, George Kittle looked like the all-pro that we've remembered him his entire career. So it was hard to watch for those that are Bears fans to see George Kittle. He had 6 targets, guys, and he had 151 yards. I mean, it was, and for me, as I watched it, you know, I really like Eric Washington, and I just think that it's hard to make changes in week 14 to your entire coaching staff. You had a brand new offensive coordinator. You had a brand new head coach. Your play caller stayed the same. You had a brand new defensive coordinator. And, you know, players get used to certain ways things are done. And whatever you guys want to say and whatever people on the outside want to say, Matt Eberflus is a hell of a defensive play caller. He is. And, you know, maybe struggled with some situational things down the stretch, obviously, and that's why he's no longer a part of this team. But it looked like a brand new team in starting in week one on the defensive side of the ball. My takeaway for Caleb Williams over the last three games, you know, he's rocking a 100 plus passer rating and 7 passing touchdowns to no picks. I mean, so, you know, it's kind of interesting, you guys, because I would like to see him throw a couple picks.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like Caleb is starting to see things his way and, you know, maybe learn from a couple of those picks that he should be throwing, but he's not. I mean, he's gone 7 straight without throwing an interception, which is great, but
you're losing.
You know, you're still looking right to see things from him and see that, you know, that fourth quarter Caleb come out throughout the course of 4 quarters and really in the first where they haven't scored points.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmount. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. And Stacey, I think that's well said. And I agree with you. I think it's unfair to Eric Washington to think that he mm-hmm. can step in and be the same kind of play caller. I mean, say what you want about Matt Eberflus. He was an elite play caller in terms of his defensive ability, in terms of his coordinator kind of status, play caller status. And I think that what you saw was an elite play caller on offense in Kyle Shanahan, and you saw a team that scored touchdowns instead of taking field goals. When they got to the red zone, they put the ball in the end zone, and that's what Eberflus was preventing all year long, and it's one of the reasons mm-hmm. the Bears were in close games. And it's just hard when they're scoring touchdowns to feel like there's a chance. And you know, so instead of being 16 down like they were the week before, they're 24 down, and it felt like they were 50 down because there was no path back into that game. And that's not blaming Eric Washington, but that's, no. You know, I this idea that you get the new coach bump doesn't take into account how you were actually playing and what you needed to have happen to stay close in those games. So I worry going into Minnesota that, you know, Kevin O'Connell's a good play caller. You know, obviously we know Flores is an elite guy as a defensive guy. And you're going to throw all sorts of different looks and different things at him. And who knows? Like the Bears managed to keep Justin Jefferson from going off. And it was, you know, Jordan Addison and especially Aaron Jones that killed him. What makes you feel like that's going to not happen again? Hey, there's just not a lot of feel good going into this Monday night game.
Yeah, I mean, there's not, and it's because of the, you know, the urgency number one that the Vikings are going to play with to you know, secure their playoff spot. Molly, all your points are extremely well heard and on point. I mean, Jordan Addison is leading their team, and I believe in receiving touchdowns, and Justin Jefferson didn't have as masterful a game as he loves to have against the Bears, a game that I was at a couple weeks ago. So, you know, in front of their crowd, you know, just the emotions of just beating Kirk Cousins, who they played with for so long, and the playoff implications, and the fact that they're not far behind the Lions in this division makes this game really important. But, you know, I got the sense watching the Bears this past Sunday, that, you know, they're a team that, you know, it's always concerning when you hear lose. You know, Thomas Brown he's a really good leader, and so I think they're going to come out and fight still. But, you know, I think there's something maybe in the back of their minds, and I don't want to speak for them. Is like, okay, we're all going to be looking at different situations next year, and when you're a player in those settings, whether you think you're staying as a Bear or you're going to be, you know, moved elsewhere or decide to move elsewhere, like just in my experience playing basketball, I was on really bad teams in the pros. And at a certain point, you know, are you going through the motions? I had to check myself a couple times, and I'm a captain on my team. Like, I had to check myself when I walked in the building because, you know, your record is so porous that it's embarrassing, and the performance, like, your ego gets into play here. Like make no mistake about it. Your ego steps into every NFL field, and like what you put on tape matters. And so what we saw in the first half, like, shoot, the Niners are going back to the Super Bowl. That's the team that I just saw.
Yeah.
Like, and they got banged up in every spot. So I think it's going to be really upon Thomas Brown to ensure that this group stays together. You know, I go back to, like, Derek Carr, you guys, in his rookie season in 2002 was sacked 76 times. 76 times. So what's been exposed to me, the work needs to be done in the trenches if you're the Bears. If this regime is here next year, which I think it will be, like, when I look at the two aforementioned teams at the top of the division right now, which is the Vikings and the Lions. The Lions have 3 second-round offensive starters, offensive line starters. They have a first-round offensive line starter. That's the Vikings. The Lions have 4 first-round starting offensive linemen. They have a third-rounder starting for them, I believe it is. And their backup, like the guy that fills in, is Dan Skipper, who, you know, he's been playing left tackle for Taylor Decker. He's undrafted, so your backups maybe are guys that have been in the league, like Dan, for 13 years. But, like, the Minnesota Vikings, like, they're first or second-round starters. And so that means something. And like, you know, we all question Brad Holmes drafting, like, oh, he went and got this guy and Penei Sewell, and, like, he was onto something. Because if you walk in the Lions building, do you know who they will tell you is the most athletic player, offense, defense, special teams in their building? Penei Sewell.
I mean,
I'm on the field like last week covering them, and you know, I'm sitting laughing with some of the personnel, but you know, from the Lions, and they're like, you know, who the most athletic guy on our team is? Penei Sewell. You should see him at practice. He could throw the ball. Like, we need to run a play for him to throw the ball.
And they ran.
They
one.
Tried to.
They tried to.
They did.
I wonder
did.
If he'll, like, complete a pass in this game. Oh, don't start.
Don't.
That was Ben Johnson insulted the Bears by even attempting that pass. But
correct.
Penei Sewell, pretty good.
Yeah, and well, when I hear from within their building, he is the most athletic player on our roster. And you got Aiden Hutchinson over there on the defensive side, and you've got, like,
Amon,
you know,
Rossi, Brad. I mean, yeah, anyone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Really, yeah.
Wow. Like, so that's, like, to me, like, again, going back to these lines, like, it has to start there at this point in the NFL. This is a passing league. Like, you can't have a center competition in training camp anymore. Your center has to be an all-pro for your rookie quarterback. It's got to have the potential of being an all-pro. Like, that's just the way I think, because nowadays the pass rush is too good. Like, what Brian Flores is going to bring, he causes so much confusion, and it's just such a query to deal with him. Like, it adds another layer to how you game plan. And then I go back to, like, listening to Dan Campbell this week. You got Mully, you mentioned, or Ruthie, you mentioned the going for it on fourth down. They scored on 2 fourth down calls last Thursday, okay? Detroit, against the Packers, who are a pretty good team. Dan Campbell said this week, like, I had to call it. Like, I just trust those guys. I trust my offensive line. When you can have the ability to trust the guys that make it all happen, like, I mean, Jared Goff is phenomenal this season. Like, he's having an MVP year. Like, he's thrown 25-plus touchdowns in each of his last 3 seasons. I think he might be the first quarterback to do that, but I would have to double-check. They trust their offensive line so inherently that that layer of confidence allows them to do what they did against the Packers and win by 3 on a field goal. Like, to me, it all starts there, and I think that's what has to be addressed for the Bears this offseason, with all due respect to the current linemen they have. But, I would definitely want to add there early in this coming draft.
Stacey, Brian Flores obviously is a name that we've talked a lot about having Caleb Williams having to face as a defensive coordinator, but he could potentially be a major head coaching candidate this offseason. I know there's a lot of complications with the lawsuits and everything going on there, but I know you've gotten to cover the Vikings and Brian and maybe get to know him a bit. What can you share with us about what he could bring as a head coach in his second go around at it?
Yeah, well, Ruthie is an incredible defensive mind. I have no doubt he'll get another shot at some point, but I don't know if the Vikings are willing to let him go this quickly. I mean, what he's built in a couple seasons there and the way the defense has responded, they went out and grabbed like a bunch of free agents in the offseason this year and really put together. When you think about Van Ginkel and you think about Jonathan Grenard and even Steph Gilmore and just the way they put that thing together with Flores. And the big takeaway in talking to all their players is just how attuned he is to what they want to do and like how he communicates with those guys. Like they have conversations just like in terms of, I remember talking to Grenard this season a couple times and just like how much Flores communicates with them what they want to do. And I'll never forget, he wants to be basically like when I was in London with them and just really anytime I've covered them all season, like he wants to be the one like at the end of a game, the final play, he wants it to come down to his defense, like the pen in his hand kind of thing. And that is the mentality that defense takes. And it's not been surprising to see the attitude that they've taken on with him. And I think you're seeing something very similar with Aaron Glenn in Detroit. A lot of these defenses taking the attitude and the sort of personification of their defensive coordinator. You know, when you hear Aaron Glenn talk about, it's not necessarily the playbook, it's the play style. So we can have a bunch of new guys because we're so injured, but are they able to pick up on the play style of what I'm looking for? I'll give you four plays. Like, let's scrap seven or eight. I'll give you four. Go out and do those well with the play style that we are in Detroit, kneecap kind of play style. And let's see where the chips fall. And so it's really cool, and I think that's leadership, and I think a lot of teams are going to look at those traits and coaches like that, like those.
Yeah, I think I expected them to take more of a step back without Kirk Cousins, but I honestly thought Danielle Hunter was the more indispensable player. And the fact that neither side of the ball seems really impacted by some of the players that are gone, it just surprises you. It just tells you some people know what they're doing. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah, and it's really the ability to lead, Molly. You know, look at the Rams, right? The Rams are surging, as we've seen at this stage. I mean, they're
that's going to be a great game. Yeah, the Rams against the Niners, another one with playoff.
It advantage. Is. Yeah. Like the Rams are right now just peeking in at 7-6, right? Mm. But Matthew Stafford's there and Sean McVay's there, so you believe. And they got all their weapons back, and you know if they can get some stops defensively, they can get into this thing. I mean, coaching matters. Like Kevin O'Connell is really exceptional, and I just like last year in his first season they won all those close games, and then last year they lost a few. Like he is. I don't know how to describe like when you sit in a production meeting with him, he's so methodical, and he's such a player's coach. He's not a screamer or a yeller, but he's so attuned to the quarterback position. But then he has this incredible overarching pulse on the entire operation. And, you know, you see it, and then he delegates. Like, I think when I look at the Bears this year, I wonder if they had have gotten the offensive coordinator right from the start. Like, what if it was Thomas and he had the entire season?
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about that side of the football. Now, Kevin worries about it because he's the offensive play caller.
Right.
But if it's the other way around and you have a defensive-minded head coach, like, look at the Steelers with Mike Tomlin, right? Like, he doesn't have to worry about Arthur Smith on the other side necessarily. I mean, he's going to always say, I want to run the ball and I want to be, you know, grind it out, pound it out kind of offense. But So they're throwing it now because they've got a quarterback and a play caller who can do those things. And so he has less to worry about as kind of a great defensive mind. And I wonder how things would have been different for the Bears, you know, had they maybe gotten an offensive coordinator to start that was a little bit more sure of the direction he wanted to go, because that's what we learned about Chase.
It's a great point, Stacey. No question about that. Thank you. Great catching up. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Stacey.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
You have a great weekend. That is Stacey Dales. Does a great job with the NFL Network. We